I'll give it to you as far as the reference goes. But here's what the verse is that they use on the back. It says, "We constantly pray for you that our God may fulfill every purpose of yours and every act promoted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you." So just from the thought we had and this particular verse that I give it to you again to think about. It has a couple of dots in there. What does that mean? Like three dots? Dot. Yeah, something is left out. So that's a couple of times in there. But I give it to you again. "We constantly pray for you that our God, ... may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act promoted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, ... So is there anything wrong with that? What? Yeah, right. It might depend on what they left off. That's true. I'll read it once more and thinking about that thought. "We constantly pray for you that our God, ... may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act promoted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, ... Okay? The purpose of yours. That's what I was sort of questioning as well, too. It almost sounds like whatever we decide to have, somehow that's going to be something good. It's found, and you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians, where this is taken from. And I'm sort of thinking that it might be the new NIV, but I'm not sure if that's the one that they use there or not. Because some of the words of the NIV match up with what this has here, but not all of them. So I don't know if it's an NIV made up a little bit differently. But it's found in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and the last two verses of that chapter, verses 11 and 10. King James has it, "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." So as you think about that, maybe some of it's a little bit confusing to me. I was thinking, what this other translation has, is it right or wrong? It seems like there was something a little not right in it. And as Jim had said, you know, it depends on what they left out. What did they leave out?
That God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill
his calling. Yeah, right.
Of
his calling. And so I think that adds a little bit more importance to the other things. The other thing that I would say is one of the other subjects is goodness and then also faith. And what might be worthy of his calling, and what this person on the back, she had a poem or a thing, and I'll give that at the end. That's very, very good and right on. But then, like I said, as I was thinking about this other translation, about the fact it says, "May fulfill every good purpose of yours," that just didn't quite seem exactly what, as you read it here and think about it, what the Word of God might be saying. As I said, it's concentrating on worthiness, on goodness, and then on faith. And so the thought we had about having no other plea, having our faith day by day, and then the fact of in the glory certainly fits with these particular verses. Mike was having about 1 Corinthians 10 the other week, or this last Sunday about the fact of the people of Israel were an example in sample to us. In other words, just not just an example, but signposts. And we've been looking at the book of Jeremiah and all, seeing all the different things that they've done wrong and how they displeased the Lord greatly. And again, to learn lessons about the fact of from that. And so when we talk about the work of faith, certainly we can talk about the first aspect of that, which would be salvation. But that's not what's referring to here. We have the work of salvation, and that's by faith. And you must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, each one of us, and that there's nothing that we can do in our salvation, and that we are saved by his work, and completely by his work, as we've been considering the remembrance service, and it's all his work. No matter what we may try, we cannot be successful. So the work of faith in here, I think, goes beyond that, because it goes on and says the work of faith with power. There's nothing, as we said, that you can do by salvation on your own. But then after we accept him, then we can have faith with power. And where is that demonstrated? In the book of Hebrews. There's one chapter that... Chapter 11. The chapter on faith. All of those various people in the Old Testament that lived by faith. And so that's beyond the work of salvation, and it's with our daily life. And so to me, when it states it here, the work of faith with power, I think that's really a good emphasis in the fact that our walk is more important afterwards than anything else. We cannot get our salvation by working or by paying for it, but we can demonstrate this tremendous life if we have power with him providing that. And then also the fact that he would count you worthy to even serve. And again, there's nothing that we can do to serve him before the fact of our salvation. It's not acceptable. It doesn't do us any good to get there. And so the fact that we're saved makes us worthy to be in his service if he would so choose to use us. And we know from his word that he does. He wants us to know him, and he wants to use us, each one of us. And so he would count you worthy of his calling. So then that leaves the middle part. Exactly what does that kind of mean? And it says, and here in King James it says, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. So does that sound like it's something that you can do again? It's something that he provides. Again, the verse that they're using here in this article, it says, may fulfill every good purpose of yours. But I'm saying that that's wrong in the sense there's nothing that we can do when it comes to trying to do goodness. There's a lot of people out there that are trying to do many good things. Does that count? No.
We should do good things
after our salvation. Right, right. And so it does count at that point. Right, I understand it, but I'm just trying to say that it doesn't count as far as our good works for salvation. And some people try to take and use that as salvation, but then even if they're not saved, they try and still do it by good works, they still get there and think that that counts as well too. And it doesn't. It takes and it's whatever he might desire, it says his good pleasure of his of the good pleasure of his goodness. And so the pleasure that he gets out of us serving him and providing the goodness that we can that he can use us and so it's whatever he would like to take and how he would like to use us. Sometimes we might say, okay, well, let's try to do something good on our own merit, we're saved. We want to try to follow after him and try to think of different things to do in goodness. But then he's got a plan. And that's what it sort of indicates to me here, that he's got a plan, good pleasure of his goodness, and he wants to take and try to direct you in that path. And he wants to do it with power, the work of faith with power. And there is the purpose, as he gives it in verse 12, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you and him. So to me, once again, that part's right, and this other translation. The fact that there's two aspects. the aspect of, you know, what he gets as a reward from our life. And then there's also the aspect to me of what we can be as we present ourselves to him and others see and see us living out this life for him. And so he receives a benefit for our life, and then other people receive a benefit for our life as well too. And so again, we're energized or provided for by what he does in our life completely. Salvation is through him, and then our work of faith and serving him is also through him and what he might like to have us to do. Sometimes we leave him out of the picture, I think, for our salvation. I mean, after our salvation, and say, okay, well, I'm just going to do this and this and this. And that's what happened to the people of Israel when they had their battles. They didn't consult the Lord as far as what he wanted them to do, and then they lost. But when they did, then they won. And so Joshua is a good example there in a really good way. This is why I said I'm not sure if this other verse was from the NIV or not, because here's what I got from the NIV. It says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. And so it sort of has some of those words in there, but then it's a little bit different on there. But still leaves us with the idea that your every desire for goodness, I think, is not what is really intended for what he has to say to us. And I also looked at the NLT, which is the New Living Translation, and I think they perhaps have it more correct, although there's some difficulty sometimes, I guess, with some of their things. But when it comes to these two verses, I think that they have it pretty right on. And so I'll give you these two verses in that version. It says in verse 11, so we keep praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. And then the second verse of verse 12. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, to me, it's a little bit more clear in the sense of the fact of what we can do for him is depending on his direction for our life, even after salvation. And again, there's not everything that we do, perhaps, that might line up with what he would like to do. And so that's why we need to take and be before him in prayer. And so we had the song Day by Day. It's a really important concept to think about what the Lord would have us to do. And so you can meditate on these two verses maybe a little bit more, but I think it's really emphasizing the opposite that Mike was showing with the people of Israel. Certainly they were an example or a signpost by the way they did wrong things. But then there's many good things that people, even as we have the book of Hebrews in 11, of the good things that people do and how their faith were a signpost to us as well too. And so the struggles that we might have day by day might be much better if we take and follow after him rather sometimes in our own thoughts. For the law club, we have a study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So to me, again, that means that the word of God can be interpreted wrongly, and many people do that. And so, again, I encourage you to study and study for yourself as well as listening as we do on nights like this. So, again, I wanted to leave you with those two verses, and here's the thought that she had from those two verses, which I thought was excellent. It's not about me. It's all about you. Help me find my place in your story that I might glorify you. In all that I think, in all that I love, in all that I do, in all that I am. Great God in heaven, may all glory and praise be yours and yours alone. And so I think the interpretation of that, those verses were laid out excellently by Susan Ryberg. And so again, I agree with it's all about him and not us in all aspects of your life. And it's not necessarily an easy thing to follow, but certainly a blessed time that you, if you do, there's a tremendous amount of blessing in that. Matt, I'll turn it back to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. If there would have been a fourth song tonight, it was going to be Wonderful Grace of Jesus. I thought that was interesting. So now we'll take prayer requests.